Tina, here's my Christmas gift to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, these are so great. I used to get these in my stocking.
Right. That's what we do is we put them in the stockings,
oh,
and it's our family tradition.
I love it. That is so sweet. Perfect, perfect. So, yeah, this is like our breakfast, you guys. Even comes a little thing. Oh, my goodness. We always talk about food on this show, right?
I know.
I'm like, oh, I can bring food. Open this without making a mess. What time is our
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua, Three Men and a Microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it, or being free will just be words and nothing more.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities. Have a hard-to-buy-for person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. A wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now.
Good morning and welcome to Civil War Radio, WOKR 1310. This is Civil War Radio with Armand Marinetti and Corporal Tim Thornton, Mike Yarger, Tina Bloom, and Melissa Walker.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. So, again, we're going to talk a little bit about civics and how to be civil. Remember, the dictionary helps us out that civil means that we're going to be polite, appropriate, not going to be calling names. And the war part with Civil War is that we may have a difference of opinion, which is okay, but we'll discuss it like adults. Okay, keep the crazy emotions out of it. So today, as a little educational piece, we're going to talk about Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. That's the one that gives the executive, or our president, his authority. There are four sections, and I'm going to briefly hit on each one. I might read a little bit, too. I know that's dull. But you guys that are going to the dump this morning, just turn on the radio to 1310 a.m. and relax while you're waiting in line and listen and hopefully learn something.
Look at that beautiful new transfer station that the town of Canandaigua's built you. Time and under budget.
Oh, right. Is it open?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, well, it's almost open. The new building isn't completely open, but if you look at it, we're getting there.
My hat's a little loose here. You guys on the radio can't see, but I'm wearing a USMC. What would this be called, Tim? Help me out here. What kind of?
Oh, that's a Marine Corps drill instructor's campaign cover.
Campaign cover. All right. So it's my head's too big for it.
Should we drop and give you 20?
Yeah. 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 I like that. Yeah. I've had to do that in school a couple times. Of course, I coached the wrestling team, too, so it was usually a guy that was on the wrestling team that I would make drop and at least do 10 if they if they could.
Yeah. Oh, who can't do 10 push-ups?
That's right. That's what I said. But, you know, these guys are 16, 17 years old. So I said, if you can't do 10 push-ups, you know, give me 10 good push-ups. So anyways, back to the educational piece here about Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. I'm going to read the first paragraph, and then I'll hit on the different highlights. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and together with the vice president, chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. It goes into the very first thing it talks about is what we know as the Electoral College. It's referred to as electors. So what we get to do, I'm going to modernize this because there was a change made with an amendment. I think it's amendment number 12. Every state has electors that go to Congress and, based on our popular vote, determine the presidential vote.
And based on the size of the state, it changes the number of electors, correct?
Yes. Here in New York State, we have one elector per representative in Congress and one per senator. So if you add that up, we have a total of 29 electors that go for New York State to the Electoral College and then vote. We're also a state that it's winner takes all. So whoever gets the popular vote within the state gets all 29 of these electoral votes. That would be an explanation if you're watching the past election in 2016, why you see the numbers change rapidly, because many states are winner take all.
Now let me ask you real quick, Armin. Can electors vote on proxy? So even though they're supposed to vote based on what the people want, I've also heard that at the end of the day they can truly go in and, you know, based on their own discretion.
I've read some stuff about that, and I think they have that privilege, but it's rarely used because it could lead to a lot of headaches down the road. So they would really have to explain themselves as to why they're voting this way.
Right.
So technically, I believe it's written in the rules that it can be done, but it's rarely used. So I'm sorry I don't have a better answer than that.
No, it's okay. I know that was brought up as a concern in recent elections.
Right. And I can tell you in the last election, there were seven people from the Electoral College who did not vote for those for whom they were pledged. So the there was a push by Hillary Clinton's people to have people change their votes from Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton. And in fact, Hillary Clinton lost four of hers who voted for somebody else, not necessarily Donald Trump.
Sure.
And then they had three others that Donald Trump lost who also voted for somebody else, not necessarily Hillary Clinton. So there were a total of seven in the last election who chose to vote otherwise.
Interesting.
Also under this Section 1, the eligibility requirements are mentioned. And they're kind of simple. Now, this is eligibility, not qualifications. A lot of people confuse those two. So the person who is running for president has to be a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States. Also shall be eligible for office based on their age. They must be 35 at least 35 years old.
Make the cut, Mike.
Yeah. So that's really pretty much it. I mean, as far as being eligible to run for president, age and citizen. So I think they mentioned something about a person in good standing, which is probably a moving target these days.
Absolutely.
There's also mention of compensation, how the president is to be paid. And then I wanted to read the actual oath of office. It's not very long, so or the oath or affirmation as it's written in the Constitution. Quote, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So that's the oath of office, and it's a done deal after all that takes place. Okay, any questions before I move on?
No, sir.
Slow me down if I'm going too fast, but there's a lot to get to today. We have to discuss the news. The news. Do you want to tease anybody?
Well, the news would be that Nancy Pelosi compared Trump's new tax plan to, I believe the words were, modern day slavery.
So pretty close.
What's modern day? And just the use of slavery would, you know, be absolutely ridiculous. But we'll let Armin decipher that.
Okay, that's the tease. Now back to the heavy stuff here. We'll do some more heavy lifting with Article 2, Section 2. Let me take a look at my notes here. This is the section that gives our president the power to be commander in, I-N, chief. I always thought it was commander and, A-N-D. But it's not. According to the Constitution, it's commander in chief of the Army and the Navy. I had a question. As you guys know, I'm a son of the American Legion down the street here. And we were at a meeting, and on the wall in the main room there, they have past presidents with an American Legion cap on, and you could see everybody from Nixon right on up to Jimmy Carter and so on. But there was no President Obama yet. So I asked the question, is that coming, President Obama? And one of the gentlemen said, well, he may not be a veteran. So then a new question popped into my mind, and Tim, you might know this, or Mike, you might be able to help with this. By the sheer fact that the president is the commander-in-chief, does that make him a veteran?
Ooh.
Because he is the commander of the entire armed forces, right? So I don't know the answer to that.
Does that make him a veteran?
Yeah. He's commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy. Does that?
I guess after his term, sure.
Okay. If anybody out there listening,
currently,
give us a comment on Civil War Radio, our Facebook page, and let us know.
He was ROTC.
Yeah, he was. He went to a military academy in the Hudson, I believe. I can't remember the name of it right now. But
it's something.
I read that his dad realized that he had to send him someplace to get a little extra discipline because dad was busy a lot with work. So he decided that in high school, before he gets himself in big trouble, our president should go and get straightened out.
So the easy way to get veteran status, short story, is become president. You can skip
over. Yes, yes. As you said, that's the easy way.
Right, much easier. Much easier. Seriously.
Also under Section 2, our president has the ability to make treaties, but it has to be supported by two-thirds of the Senate. So here's – maybe in a later show we could do some research on executive orders because I have a difficulty with executive orders. Some historians and some political scientists believe that the executive order is covered under Article 2. And I don't make the strong connection like some people do. So keep that in mind for some future shows. Section 3. This is the section that allows the president to tell us about the State of the Union. He shall, from time to time, give to the Congress information about the State of the Union. So that's important in this section. Also, he can convene both houses for a special occasion, like a time of war. He can call the houses together for emergency purposes. This one I didn't understand. I apologize. Maybe you guys can help me out here. He also, quote, he may adjourn them, being Congress, to such time as he shall think proper. Now, I don't see any footnotes saying that's been amended, and I don't really know what that means, if it's ever been used. But the way I'm reading it in 2017 is that if the president wants to tell those guys to go home, am I reading too much into it? Any thoughts?
I'm thinking that you must be reading too much into it, but honestly, I don't know. So I think that's something we'll have to research for a future show.
Yeah, I don't know any other definition of adjournment.
Isn't that something how the more we learn, the more we ask questions?
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay, we learned something, but we lost something we got to figure out. So anyway, last section for this, and then we'll get to the fun stuff. Section 4. And this is timely. It's about impeachment. The removal of the president is in Section 4. And originally we were going to talk about that because there's still a lot of activity in current events about impeaching the president. So let's see if we can be a little bit more specific as to why you can impeach a president. According to the Constitution, for conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, we all know what treason is, right? You give up the country to an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know what bribery is. You take money to do something that may be illegal. That's usually bribery. It could be lying under oath, something like that. And the high crimes and misdemeanors is a broad, broad area.
It sure is.
Yeah. Just taking it to the local level, I believe the first time you're stopped for a DWI, it's labeled a misdemeanor. Now, if it continues and you have a second one, and when you do the breathalyzer, it's too high, then it's considered a felony. So my thoughts were after I read this, so if the president gets pulled over and gets a DWI and he has a ticket saying that he committed a misdemeanor, it can't be that we can impeach him for something like that, because we know throughout history and presidents have done much worse than that. So that's the end of Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution.
That was good.
Next time we'll talk about Article 3, which is all about the judiciary.
Ooh.
All right, so now we get into the fun stuff.
Let's play our soundbite.
We have a soundbite. Need that? You found it?
Well, I think so.
Because I was looking and looking. I couldn't find it.
I couldn't find it either.
It might be a third voice. It might not be Congresswoman.
Party leader Nancy Pelosi said the Republican measure was the worst bill to ever be passed in the United States Congress. I have said that this was stiff competition by some of the other things they have put forth. Is the worst bill in the history of the United States Congress, Pelosi said Tuesday during a House floor debate on the tax measure. According to The Hill, Pelosi's argument, in her own words, is that passing the largest tax cut in nearly 30 years is worse than the government supporting slavery more than 100 years ago, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, arguably the worst measure ever approved, and a major cause of the Civil War, was passed by the U.S. Congress.
Okay, you won't hear Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I've been looking to hear her voice. I did find a 35-minute press conference that was the day before the 21st. I think she made the comments on the 20th. I could be wrong about those dates, but I was trying to actually hear her say it and then bring in a recording, but I could not find it on YouTube or when I Googled Nancy Pelosi compares new tax bill to slavery.
I like that that computer-generated voice better than Nancy's anyway.
It does sound awful mechanical, doesn't it?
That was from Today News.
Today News. Okay. So, but I guess, you know, here's where you guys are going to get mad at me, but I posted this, and you probably saw the post. She's not totally wrong. I have a different take when it comes to talk about taxes. As you guys know, I did tax work for many, many years, and I stopped doing it because at one point I realized I'm part of the problem. I believe that we, as free citizens, should know our tax situation better than any accountant, better than any attorney, better than any congressperson. That's my personal thoughts about the tax situation. So when she said that, the first thing that came to my mind is that an income tax, which takes anywhere from 15 to 30% of the fruits of your labor, your wages, right out of your paycheck, and it sends it to some governor somewhere, whether it be Albany, Washington, or someplace in between, you've been deprived of about 15 to 30% of your hard-earned income.
Right.
So imagine this. You're working in a field, and one ankle is shackled, but you can move all around, but I can't leave that field until I pick some cotton. That's the image I get. And that came from reading something about Income Taxes, Root of Evil, which is an old book from the 1950s. And the Mises Institute, you can get it for free on their website and read through that. And it hit home. I guess that's the best way to put it. It hit home.
And I understand where you're coming from, absolutely, and I agree with you. The income tax situation in this country is outrageous and outlandish, to be quite frank. I think drawing an analogy to something like slavery, though, perhaps is a little heavy-handed. I think any time we're going to make a comparison to anything to such a dark time in our history is maybe somewhat inappropriate, so that's where I would disagree with Nancy Pelosi.
But as you know, that there is a temptation to use emotion to motivate people.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi has a good history of doing that.
Indeed she does.
So,
like a shock jock.
Well,
yeah.
But I don't think that's strictly Nancy Pelosi. I think we could say that of most members of our government. So,
no doubt. Yep. Yep.
I think if anything, the analogy she should have used was maybe indentured servants, because as citizens, we are constantly working just to make ends meet. And we're paying the government and still working.
So instead of slaves, we mock the Irish.
Throw the Italians in there. Yeah, there's a good documentary on U.S. history or history.com, which is a website, history.com. And I used it with students. It's called The Story of Us. And there is a segment about building the Erie Canal. So it's kind of close to home. And the Irish labor that was used to help build the Erie Canal. And there's one scene where they show a guy lighting a stick of dynamite to blow through so they can dig the ditch for the canal. And it doesn't light the first time. So they're all talking, okay, you got to go back and light it. Not me. I'm not going. You go light it. No, not me. So finally, one guy goes and lights it. And if I remember the segment properly, I don't think he came out. There's a big kaboom, and he was nowhere to be seen.
There goes groundskeeper Willie.
So I'm sure that happened.
So, Armin, the new tax bill got passed.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Is it really against the middle class?
All right. We've talked about this before, and here's my thoughts without actually seeing the bill signed, because there is no bill until it gets signed by the president, going back to Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution. My thoughts are that it's going to help some people, and it's going to hurt some people. So it's not really a tax cut as it's been publicized, in my view. This is my opinion, okay? I see it more as being a tax shift. Will it hurt the middle class? When I was doing taxes for people, everybody wants a standard answer to their question. And I would tell them there is no standard answer. It depends on your personal situation with the deductions and the exemptions and if you're doing a Schedule A or a Schedule C. So I can't give you the answer you want. Like, yes, take one from that shelf. It's not that simple. So I would urge people, again, to learn their own tax situation the best they can. Will it help help the middle class? Time will tell. And it probably will take a good couple years to shake it out and see. I'm guessing the way history has gone, some in the middle class will be helped, some will be hurt.
And that's from an individual perspective. So if you look at the corporate tax code that this bill proposes, dropping the rate from 35 to 21%, overall, hopefully our economy is going to grow. Right now, our country's at a 3% growth rate, and President Trump predicts 4 to 6%, which some people think is impossible. The last time the growth rate in the United States was over 5% was in 1984. So it's been some time. But you think of, I guess, the collateral benefits that we're going to get as individuals from the corporate tax rate being decreased just in the short term. So AT&T, I think, has got a lot of press. Over 200,000 of their U.S. workers are being given $1,000 bonuses before the end of the year because this bill is passed or is in the process of passing. I think it was Fifth Third Bank and another company that escapes me, Wells Fargo maybe, that's increasing their own minimum wage for employees now that they're going to be they're going to be saving so much money. So
right.
I think in the long run we are going to see, but is that going to matter on our 1099s at the end of the year? Are we going to see a difference, you know, in our tax refund or something like that? To Armin's point, it's to be seen.
Right.
Those are all good comments, and a couple thoughts that came from that is that the $1,000 bonus, if it goes in before December 31st...
Taxable income.
Taxable income, and it may be a huge amount depending on that individual's situation. If they've made... I have a younger son. Tim knows my son. He makes does a lot of overtime. Well, when he looks at his check, most of those overtime dollars go to taxes.
Yeah.
Almost half of it goes to taxes. So that could be a harmful thing. But on the good side of that coin is that when you talk about corporations paying less taxes, that means we pay less taxes.
Exactly.
Because we're their customers. And corporations don't let me reword that. Corporations get their taxes from us.
Correct.
And the price of the goods and services they sell. So in reality, we're paying those taxes, and the corporations are passing them on to Washington.
Right.
And then from Washington, back to New York. Then from New York, hopefully back to our community. So good questions. And I, excuse me. This is why I'm so frustrated with the tax situation as a whole. I believe there's a better way. I believe that we have to pay taxes if we want some of the niceties of living in the United States of America. We need roads.
Mm-hmm.
We need other means of transportation if you want to go someplace. We need law enforcement. We need protection of our borders. We need this stuff if we're going to be a viable country.
But does basic infrastructure have to be so costly? And this is probably another topic for another show, especially in the state of New York. But looking at the taxes we pay on the federal and state level, public programs, whether it be Medicaid or public welfare and public assistance, certainly that's needed to some degree. But are we overdoing it? Are we policing it correctly? Are we spending exorbitant amounts in areas that we really don't need to, or where we're getting scammed?
Well, this is Civil War Radio, so I'm going to say something. I'm going to be civil, and it may ruffle some feathers.
Okay, I'm ready.
So as a retired teacher, a public employee, in general, if there's a public entity, an agency, a bureaucracy, here we go. I believe that you have three people that can be work to do work that can be done by two. So to sum it up, they're about 33% heavy in labor. That is probably their biggest cost of operation.
And we talked about labor rates with the state in our last show on Civil War Radio. We talked about, the percentage of people employed by the state of New York
right.
in one aspect or another, and from the federal government as well. So it's a huge amount.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I apologize if I stepped on anybody's toes. I didn't mean to, but that's just a way of thinking.
No, that guy leaning on the shovel up on the throughway, he's not upset at all.
Ouch.
Why is he throwing that shovel at me?
Shots fired.
Well, he's not using this, so he must as well throw it at me,
no.
Right?
Yikes.
Oops. That's it. All right, I said enough. I'm done.
All right, thanks. That was Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti, and this is part of our Christmas segment, so Armin's leaving to go do more things, Goodwill.
Yeah. Yep.
If you want, do your Christmas hello or goodbyes.
I'll keep it real simple. Remember the reason for Christmas, okay? Don't get stressed out. Relax. Relax. You're going to have some time off. Spend it with your family. Spend it with your friends. And think good things.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, Armin.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Nice meeting you.
And when
you.
We come
Merry
back, we'll be back with Holger Safe from Holger, what is it you do?
U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary.
U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. Okay, we'll be right back.
Yeah. I forget
after these messages.
We're still recording this.
Yeah, so.
So hold your tongue, Holger.
Every man can grow a beard. However, your beard can become a great beard when using Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Care Products. Using Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Care Products promotes a softer, fuller beard, while also keeping skin healthy and hydrated underneath. Our products will help to control strays. Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Oil will help replace the oils we lose while washing and help to condition your facial forest. Try Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Balm for a light hold while softening and promoting your manly growth. Remember the name Mud Creek Apothecary, my bearded friends. And as always, stay strong and beard on. Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, Red, White, and Blue, the A flag, the American flag, the flag that is flown above every rooftop to guide on, battleships, camps, forts, and fops. The American flag bears the crimson color of blood that has kept our flag as pure as the white bars that flank the blue field of honor. The Military Exchange is proud to present Valley Forge American-made flags, 100% American-made, real issue. We sell flags by the military branch, unit, or division. Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, National Guard, Marine Corps. We sell flag poles, mounts, and display cases. Show your pride. Display your branch proudly with a flag from Valley Forge. The Gadsden, Don't Tread on Me flag and decals. Perfect for the conservative New Yorker. Join the military culture that is the Military Exchange. Located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out our weekly video broadcast of our radio show at IronMikesMX.com. Hello, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, the owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Over the past 20 years, I have personally searched out vintage clothing, uniforms, antiques. I like to collect all things military. I am just now willing to let go parts of my collection. We have a line of hand-picked vintage collectibles. World War I to present day. Vintage is a great way to give yourself a unique look. Ladies and gentlemen, add a little vintage to your wardrobe. What I like about vintage is the quality of material. Cotton, wool, leather, all at its very best. Different texture, design, and old school patterns that fit the way they should fit on a man or a woman. The Military Exchange is your home for vintage clothing and collectibles. For your viewing pleasure, please go to my website, IronMikesMX.com, and see our video and pictures of vintage collectibles. My Whoopee, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad for being issued. You, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know it is fate. Forever I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I am yours and you are mine. Forever and ever, we'll be just fine. The American-made military issue poncho liner. Available in assorted colors. Also with the USGI poncho to make a Ranger bag. My Whoopee. On sale now at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
Welcome back to Civil War Radio. This is our interview segment. We're here with Holger Stava. He has a CPR store in Canandaigua, a shop, and he's also part of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here this early to Christmas. And if you could, we're all curious about your shop and what you do there. We know you're friends with Melissa, and we want to know more.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, our little store here in Canandaigua called Train to Save teaches first aid and CPR to the general community. We do individuals, so lots of nurses, dentists. We even go to other colleges and teach it there because my full-time job basically is teaching first aid and CPR at FLCC as well. But if you need to be certified in any level of CPR or first aid, you can give us a call there. Go on the website or call 396-0840 and we'll be able to take care of those kind of needs.
Now, is that through the Heart Association or the Red Cross that you're providing certification?
We are doing American Heart Association as well as National Safety Council and Emergency Care and Safety Institute. One of the very unique things that we teach through Train to Save is the Wilderness First Aid course, which is required by Boy Scouts and camp counselors to take their kids out into the wilderness and stay out there in overnight camps and things like that. And people keep telling me I'm the only one who's not a Boy Scout who's still teaching this in all of New York State.
Wow.
So just a couple of weeks ago, I drove all the way out to Long Island to teach this course to a group of Boy Scouts. So it's a very exciting part. And Melissa has recently joined us here to learn how to teach that course as well.
That's great.
So, yep,
now, as a former emergency medical technician myself and nurse, wilderness medicine is something that I never had covered. And again, I think it's neat that you offer this in our community. So some of the things that you might learn in your class, would that be like splinting long bones using branches or bandaging based on, you know, what you might find out in the woods?
Sometimes there's lots of creativity involved.
Certainly.
When you're out there and you don't have an ambulance to come and help you very quickly. And that's really the focus of the Wilderness First Aid course, is how do you deal with what's really not unique first aid, but just how to manage it and what to do when you know you are it. You have to be the one to take care of this person, possibly even overnight, because you might get into situations where, and often things happen at the end of the day, you know, when everybody's tired and when it starts getting dark, you never want to go move around in the darkness out in the wilderness. So now you have to learn how to keep somebody overnight and make them still wake up the next morning and then figure out how to get them out of there.
And like much other parts of modern Western medicine, probably harkens back to ditch medicine, right? Coming out of the military.
Sure, there's a lot of that background. I mean, the triangular bandage is still my most favorite tool out there when you come right down to it. You know, back to the basics. You know, the wilderness is unforgiving, and it's good to know at least some of the basic things. And it's not the brain surgery that we're teaching, but it's some of the very basics, but mainly how to deal with it when you don't have help coming and you know you're going to be the one responsible for keeping that person as alive as you possibly can.
Now, where do we find your shop? And can folks just stop in, or is it something where they call ahead and sign up for a class and then it's more of a training facility?
The store is at 242 South Main Street, which is right next to the Burn Dairy in that little tiny plaza tucked back in there. And we do have a website as well, traintosave.net, where you can find the courses all listed. And there's a phone number there, and then you can give us a call there and set up a course. And if there are groups, we actually more than half of the classes that we teach out of the store. We go to dentist's offices and so forth and teach them out there.
Great. Can they stop in your store and buy products like face masks for CPR? Can they go in and buy gloves and you know, first aid kits, things like that?
We have not gone there, again, because of the tax issue and the sales tax. And we're so busy just with the teaching that we haven't gotten into the retail part of it yet.
And how long have you been there? How long have
you been We've been there now about 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Okay, so Holger, I understand that one of the courses that you teach is CPR for pets.
First aid for pets.
We have a first aid for pets class. We haven't taught it lately because we haven't had an instructor to teach it for us, but it used to be a staple, and it's ready and there for somebody to teach. So if somebody is out there listening and wants to come and teach that again, we welcome them, and please get in touch with us. It's been a popular course, and there's no test at the end either.
So I got to lock lips with old Shotzi here.
Oh, like it would, like it'd be the first time, Tim. I'm teasing you.
There are some of those similarities. And I don't know if they do compressions-only CPR for pets yet.
That's right.
I have to research that.
There's a lot of mouth-to-muzzle there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be a good
thing. So that would be another question I have. I've heard lately that they've changed the requirements for CPR and that you don't breathe into somebody's mouth anymore. You do compressions only.
Compressions are definitely the most important part of doing CPR.
Okay.
That's absolutely correct. Compressions-only CPR is what the dispatchers would prompt you to do if you had absolutely no experience.
If you
call 911.
Right.
Right, because, you know, there are many situations where there's no way you're going to put your mouth on that stranger. And so they invented this way to do CPR, to get people to perform CPR regardless of what the situation is. It is a great option. We still prefer it if you do breathe, even into adults. But when you're dealing with children and infants, we always want you to add the breathing to it.
You know, I had a friend at Xerox. He was horrifying. Couldn't have been more overweight. Couldn't have had a worse grill. Couldn't eat more than all of us. And he had the worst breath. And one day he had the nerve in the break room to turn to all of us guys that always, we sit with him at the table, group of us, always talk sports. And he goes, well, if I went down, you guys would give me CPR, wouldn't you? And everybody got quiet.
Oh, no.
He goes, Tim, you're a Marine. I'm a Marine. You would. And I said, George, I promise you, I will go into the bathroom and get a plunger.
Oh.
I will do that.
Not one of the more recommended methods.
That's right. That's right.
But that's a great story.
But to Holger's point, you know, the guidelines were updated because what they found is when people called 911, they were reluctant to do CPR at all because there were breaths involved. So they had to find a way to change it to still improve survival rates while, you know, getting people to do something until EMS arrived.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was a recent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is working very well.
And you also talked about in pediatrics. So in infants and children, you prefer that they do breaths. And that's probably because most children under the age of 8, when they do go into any kind of arrest like that, it's due to respiratory failure first, where cardiac is secondary, correct?
And that's absolutely correct. Yep. Their heart probably stopped beating because they stopped breathing first. And you will probably find in more cases that is choking that we're dealing with.
Sure. And in adults, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
The heart stops
exactly,
first.
Exactly, yep. Just start that CPR and don't even worry about anything else.
Right.
Yep. So, very true.
Well, I think it's cool you got this little... Tell us where your shop is, because it sits back a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's tucked away back in the back there. There's a pet store next to us and New York, New York, around the corner. But there's parking right in front of the store, so we're off of Main Street. Just before you pass Burn Dairy, turn right into that big parking lot there.
That's
we'll
great.
Be right in the
so
corner there.
Millsy's Barber Shop is to your right, correct?
Correct. Yep, they're on the corner there.
So you're kind of tucked in there between Burn Dairy, the old Burn Dairy, and Millsy's Barber Shop.
That's correct,
Now, your Coast Guard time.
My Coast Guard time.
Semper Paratus.
Absolutely.
Good,
thank you.
There we are. Thank you. The Coast Guard Auxiliary, a lot of people don't even know that we even have Coast Guard in this area. And we do have a fabulous real Coast Guard station up in Rochester, Station Rochester. And we have four auxiliary flotillas. Now, the Coast Guard Auxiliary is actually the volunteer branch of the Coast Guard. And we do many things, and we train right alongside the real active Coast Guard in a lot of these search and rescue operations and so forth. And we do have a flotilla even here, right here in Canandaigua. One in Canandaigua, then we have the one in Rochester, one in Hilton, and then one is in SOTUS. We provide predominantly services to the recreational boating public. And even though Canandaigua Lake is not what we call a federal lake, it's still our concern. Through the auxiliary, our main job here in Canandaigua is to provide the About Boating Safely course, which is that little course and the card that you have to get if you want to drive one of those PWCs, or if you're younger than 14 and want to drive a motorboat by yourself.
So PWC, personal watercraft.
Personal watercraft, like a wave runner. Or,
sure.
Yep, those fun things. motorcycles on the water, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We do teach that at least once a month down here in Canandaigua, and we advertise that on the Advio screens, as well as I'll leave some information here and around town so that people can register for that course. That's one of our big responsibilities. Another thing that's our main concern here in this region is paddlecraft safety. And unfortunately, the newspapers in the region have not picked up on publishing a lot of this, but we've had a tremendous problem a year before, not so much this summer, but last summer, with paddlecraft incidents. More people, or as many people, died in just paddlecraft accidents the year before as totally died in all boating accidents the year before.
Wow.
Because there's this enormous upsurge in people, you know, being able to go to Walmart and just buy a canoe and hop in it and go out paddling, and they have no clue what they're doing. And the biggest problem in all cases was that they did not wear their life preservers. And wearing life jackets, as uncomfortable as it may be, as dumb as it may make you look, it is the smartest thing to do, and they do save lives. And especially in New York State, they realize that we have a lot of cold water around here. And right now, we are definitely in the cold water season. And so between November and April, it is actually New York State law that if you get on the water in anything that floats, because anything that floats is called a boat, basically, mm-hmm. You must wear a life vest. So please do that, and please don't just sit on them or carry them with you, but put them on, especially when the water is cold. And so it's important. And we go around and we make sure that we remind people of that. And the Coast Guard reinstated a new position for us, which is called dock walking, so that we go out there and we walk along where people are launching boats and remind them to have all these safety features on their boats and put their life vests on. The young ones make sure they're wearing their life vests in the boat, even you know, when they're just out there having fun.
Yeah.
Kids do kind of sometimes pop out of boats, and they float better you know, when they
more
have
buoyant.
Those life vests. A little more buoyant. And to make sure they got the right life vest on, especially when you're water skiing or doing something active like that. The style of the jacket has to change so that it can resist the impact with the water and doesn't just get pulled off of you.
Now, I'm a boater, and my thought is, you know, if I want to make sure I've got all the safety equipment I need, whether it be flares or the right number of life vests on my boat, can I just call the Coast Guard Auxiliary and have them come out or meet up with them somewhere and have them do a safety check of my boat?
Absolutely. We do the vessel inspections. We have a very active team here working out of Canandaigua as well. We start usually in the spring with the Blessing of the Fleet event that is now being held usually by the Canandaigua Yacht Club. Mm. Right around Labor Day, just before that.
Memorial Day?
Memorial Day.
Okay.
Sorry,
yep.
That does come first. And start with that. But then, yes, you can call the Coast Guard Auxiliary and give us a call or go on the website. And I'll leave that kind of information here, too, at the store for you with some brochures. The vessel inspections are very popular. We did over 200 of them this year.
Wow.
Throughout the auxiliary. So,
do you have the number there, Holger, just to read off for our listeners? And if not, we can always come back to it in the show. We'll plug it in. But I think that's very important.
Yep, absolutely.
Terrific.
Now,
were you active duty Coast Guard prior to being auxiliary?
No, I was not. I'm also one of the active captains of the Canandaigua Ladies, so I did get out on the boat and see a lot of this happening live out there. So if people want to join, though, again, I will leave brochures here. So if they are interested in joining and helping, getting out there and making boating safer in New York State.
And there's different areas that they can participate in. It's just not going actively out on the boat.
Absolutely, yep. There are a lot of things that people can do, anything from being a treasurer to ordering materials. Public education is, of course, the big one. Marine safety operations is what we call being out on the boats. Communications, dealing with the media. Personally, I'm the public affairs officer, for example, so I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. Program visits, handing out brochures and things to marinas and so forth. And communication systems, you know, dealing with radios. And so anything anybody can do, you don't have to go out there and get boat qualified and become a coxswain.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Holger. It was a real pleasure to meet you. I am always amazed at the treasure of people that we have in this community, and I consider you among them.
Well, thank
Certainly.
You very much. Really
yes.
appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate everything you're doing for us and that you have done. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Jericho. Can I get a drink? Sumatra. Pull down the shades. Duro. Lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been on? Welcome! Enlisted in officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge. Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hector Wimano Cigars. Here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
Call 319-527-2680. This Christmas special was brought to you by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Our radars on the northern slopes have just picked up an unknown object over the North Pole. It's headed south at a very high rate of speed. Nine objects at 40,000 feet descending rapidly. We're now scrambling jet interceptors to identify this unknown track.
Heading 300 degrees, climbing to Angels 40.
Roger, Christmas. This is Frosty Leader, airborne, vectoring on target at 180, climbing to Angels 40.
Roger, Frosty and Holly Leaders. This is Christmas Control. Continue on present headings. Make Angels 40. Your target? Nine unknown objects heading south.
Copy. Leveling at Angels 40.
Holly Leader. Your target now 45 degrees right, 100 miles. Search high and low.
Roger, Control. Still searching.
Understand, Holly Leader. Frosty Leader, your target now 40 degrees right, 100 miles level.
Roger, no sighting yet. Hold it. I have an unknown contact, 35 degrees right, 40 miles.
Roger, Frosty Leader. That's your target. Proceed and identify.
Okay, Control. I have an identification. You won't believe this. It's you-know-who. A very fat man. He's dressed in red, and he's piloting a sleigh pulled by reindeer.
Roger that, Frosty Leader. We pick him up every year at this time. Attention all North American Air Defense Command radar, missile, and fighter interceptor units. This jolly old man and his cargo receive air defense escort and safe journey. Merry Christmas to all, and out.
Frosty Leader, this is Christmas Control for great deals on military gifts and collectibles, military surplus. Follow the fat man into Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
Ho, 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 ho. The Military Exchange.
Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home, used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua. The Military Talk Show, IronMikesMX.com. Call us at 394-2960.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage, boxers, and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's, the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Iron Mike's is located in Canandaigua, New York. The Military Exchange is locked and loaded with military gear and merchandise currently being used by our armed forces. The Military Exchange is an excellent source for all your hunting, camping, and outdoor needs. Iron Mike's is proud to stock items for our active and reserve military personnel, Boy Scouts, Civil Air Patrol, Sea Cadets, Airsoft, campers, backpackers, and survivalists. Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with hour two of Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua, 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.